Well, I do not know where the truth is, but I think that all that we can do is to take a leader by his own word. If the person says that they are not interested in a power sharing deal, then I do also, therefore, they do not understand why the government will insist that they are interested in a power sharing deal. The problem with the current government is that because it now controls parliament, it seems not to want to listen to anybody. So that you find, like, the day before yesterday, the IG, for example, the inspector of police, is saying that the people went and hired bodies from the morgue to demonstrate or to prove that people were killed by the police. I mean, that is totally outrageous, because you definitely, I know people who are killed by the police. I have, records of, clients of mine whose relatives were killed by the police. There is evidence of the people who are killed by the police. There are pathologists have done reports showing, bullet wounds. So if you have officers such as this who, instead of seeing red, they are seeing blue, instead of seeing white, they are seeing black, then you also take some of the things that they are saying with a pinch of salt.
Attorney James Mwamu is a former president of the Kenya Law Society. He spoke with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. In South Africa, the main opposition party, Democratic Alliance, plans to seek legal redress over the decision to release former President Jacob Zuma from prison due to overcrowding. The former president spent an hour in prison and was released on Friday after the authorities granted him remission status, granted to low-risk or non-violent criminals. Local media reports say President Cyril Ramaphosa signed the agreement, which also saw the release of over 9,000 inmates. But the opposition Democratic Alliance condemned the move, saying it was politically motivated to free a leading member of the ruling African National Congress, or ANC. For more reaction, I read John Steen Houston. He is the leader of South Africa's main opposition Democratic Alliance.
Well, we think it's a completely disgusting manipulation of the law in order for the ANC to protect one of their own. The rule of law has been trampled on, the procedures of justice have been trampled on, and the government have just invented a new sentence rescission process only to benefit Jacob Zuma. In doing so, they've had to use 10,000 other criminals in the correctional services facilities as cover to release Mr. Zuma. It is once again shows that the ANC, and particularly President Ramaphosa, will always put the party ahead of the interests of the country and the people of South Africa. This cynical manipulation of the justice system is yet another low for the ANC government and more inspiration by why they should be removed from office.
Are you saying that his release was politically motivated?
In a country with a recidivism rate in the upper 80s, it is very likely that those 10,000 criminals will reoffend. However, this abuse of the rule of law is absolutely politically motivated, and the rescission was specifically designed to suit one person and one person only, and that was Jacob Zuma, because the ANC are unable and unwilling to hold their own accountable, even for some of the most egregious actions. This is not a very good portent for the Zondo Commission, which will, in all likelihood, lead to some of the prosecutions of those involved in state capture, and would obviously then just waive their ANC membership card and not be held accountable. This is a terrible precedent, and it's a smack in the face for the rule of law and due process.
Why do you think this undermines the rule of law?
Because there is no overcrowding problem. If there has been an overcrowding problem, it's been around for many, many years. Why is it that the moment Mr. Zuma is incarcerated, there's suddenly an overcrowding problem in the prison system? This is not a mere coincidence. It's a clear show of collusion between the government and the prison officials to ensure that Mr. Zuma did not have to spend any time in jail.
What does the DA intend to do about this, since you said it undermines the rule of law?
Well, we will immediately take the decision on review. It was only because of the DA's review application that Mr. Zuma was going back to jail in the first place. We will once again approach the courts and tackle this decision on the basis that it is unreasonable and irrational, and that the fact that there's been a cynical manipulation of the justice system to achieve a political objective rather than a legal one for the ANC.
What do you say to those who say that President Zuma just returned to South Africa after seeking medical attention abroad, and that putting him in an overcrowded, so to speak, jail, that will further imperil or endanger his life?
I fundamentally disagree that Mr. Zuma is ill. Just a week before he was notionally getting medical attention, he was representing Belarus at a conference. There's nothing wrong with Mr. Zuma, just as there's absolutely nothing wrong with Mr. Zuma's financial advisor, Shabir Sheikh, who was also released 10 years ago because he was terminally ill. He is still healthy and well and very much alive. There's absolutely nothing wrong with Mr. Zuma's health. And in any event, there are many, many other criminals who are currently incarcerated who are in far worse health than Mr. Zuma, and who have not got the luxury of having a government abusing positions and their powers to release them.
What do you say to those ANC supporters who are pointing to the fact that Zuma has been in jail before, so saying that his release due to what the government described as overcrowding in the jail system should not be seen as undermining the rule of law or the criticism being leveled by the Democratic Alliance?
Well, they're fundamentally wrong. The principle of equality before the law and the rule of law are foundational principles for the survival of any democracy, wherever it may be in the world. Just as undermining the rule of law here and throwing out the principle of equality before the law will cause huge damage to the South African fabric, and also sends a terrible precedent that in future ANC cadres who are found guilty of crimes are simply going to be able to waive their party membership card and get out of jail free.
John Steenhuisen is the leader of South Africa's main opposition Democratic Alliance. He spoke with me from the capital, Pretoria. The Nigeria Medical Association is calling on the government to step up efforts to resolve the labor dispute with the striking resident doctors. Dr. Uche Ojimma, president of the group, says his organization will continue to work with leaders of the striking doctors and representatives of the government to resolve the dispute. The Medical Association's call came after members of the Association of Resident Doctors launched daily protests and picketing at the offices of the Ministry of Health, Head of Civil Service, as well as federal and state tertiary health institutions across the country. The National Executive Council of the Nigeria Association of Resident Doctors says the move is necessary to press home its demands. The group recently embarked on a strike action to demand better working conditions due to what it says is the government's failure to negotiate salary increases and the payment of arrears owed to them. For more on the calls for a quick resolution of the dispute, I reached Dr. Uche Ojimma in the Nigerian capital, Abuja.
The fact is this, most of the issues in that document are things that should have been done without any controversy. I mean, that you have approved payment of allowances for training people, and they are going for exams, they are doing the training, they do not need to fight to be paid. That is what I strongly believe as a person. Other outstanding issues like arrears of salary, and things, you know, it's an anomaly in a civilized society to owe your worker. And so, if you look at it, to me, it's a bit embarrassing that we are at that point of having a conflagration over such simple matter. Even though the government is new, we believe that government is a continuum, and therefore, they should quickly do those things to save the nation unnecessary embarrassment.
Some people are expressing concern that since the government is new and is trying to put its feet together, the resident doctors, they said, should give the government a little bit of time to get its footing right in order to meet its concerns. Do you think that concern is legitimate?
Well, these are issues of morals. It is not issues of law anymore. This government is new, but it has also been able to borrow money and giving some parts to legislators, giving some parts to these people and that people within this short period of time. And the fact remains that they are not preparing a budget now afresh. They already have a budget for 2023 in place. And they will always tell you that these monies are in the budget. So if they have been budgeted for, and you came in and government is a continuum, because during one of the negotiations in May, I remember telling the government officials, we don't want to hear that the other government has gone, this is new. They say, no, government is a continuum. So we are not here for sentiment, we are here for facts. In 2 months, we could have done all those things, and they have had 2 months. I pray for them to succeed, but they need to do what they need to do.
What other help can you give to your younger buddy in order for them to have this result? Because this is a labor dispute.
Well, the fact is that we just didn't make a release. We have interfaced with NAG, interacted with them. I've also joined them in reaching out to government and attending meetings. So we are working actively behind the scenes in collaboration with them to quickly bring to an end. We don't have enough consultants, so we need our residents back so that the training can progress and we produce more people. I'm hoping that the developed nations would allow them to stay to work for us. So we are working with them.
Some Nigerians are saying this is not the time for strike or labor dispute because under the prevailing conditions, they are the ones who are suffering. If the doctors or the resident doctors are on strike, since there will be less hands to handle the already shortage in the system. Your reaction to that?
If this is the time to remove fuel subsidy, I don't think this is not the time to fight to also feed yourself and be alive. We have time to remove fuel subsidy, and everybody is grappling with the reality. If you set off the economy on a spiral, you don't blame me for saying I need help to survive. So all those things to me, they look like blackmail. What I expect an average Nigerian to say is this due to them? Give it to them. That is it. Yeah, we can appeal to them to consider, like we're also doing as a bigger party. We are working together. We're also trying to balance the equation so that Nigerians don't lose totally. So we are on it.
Your last words for the government and for the people of Nigeria, as well as the resident doctors who are right now in dispute with the government.
Thank you to the people of Nigeria first, and especially our patients. I wish to profusely apologize that issues got to the point of disrupting service to you. Even though within the hospital system, we are doing all we can to provide skeletal services and maintain the outpatient clinics running. But please be patient with us. Work with us to make sure that we don't usually get back to this point where government sign agreements and make promises they will not keep. People don't need to fight to be promoted. So we apologize, but please bear with us. To the resident doctors, you are part and parcel of the Nigerian system. I know you have the milk of human kindness flowing in you. So also work towards considering so that if things improved and outlined, you quickly return to work. To the government, we pray for your success. We wish you well. Please wish us well so that things will go well. Thank you very much.
Dr. Uche Ojima is president of the Nigerian Medical Association. He spoke with me from the Nigerian capital, Abuja. Emmett McHenry, a prominent African-American computer guru, has been officially inducted into Igbo ancestry. The induction occurred during the first Ohanaeze North America Town Hall meeting and Igbo ancestry ceremony recently held in Washington, D.C. McHenry is the chairman and CEO of Cycurion, an acquisition company focused on building end-to-end security solutions. He is credited with developing the .com code for internet emails and traces his origin to Igbo land in Nigeria. General William Ward, the first commander of the U.S. Africa Command in Stuttgart, Germany in 2007, was also inducted into Igbo ancestry at the same ceremony. Ohanaeze Ndigbo is a socio-cultural group that seeks to speak and represent all Igbo groups across the world. For reaction to his induction into Igbo ancestry, I sat down with Emmett McHenry here in Washington.
I was very moved emotionally. And I talked to my son later, and he was very moved as well. He was there. And it really, part of the being so moved is that as a person of African ancestry living in North America, you meet lots of people who can talk about their ancestry. Oh, my family came here in 1432. Oh, my folks came here in only 1940. But we go back to the king of this or that. As a person of African ancestry here, we don't have that rootedness in our head, that knowledge. And since I was a little kid, I've always wondered, where in Africa am I from? And how did my family get here? Did someone sell me and my ancestries? Was there a war? What happened? But all of those questions went out of the way. Just the fact that not only am I part of the Igbo nation, the Igbo people, but that they acknowledge me and they warmly wrap their arms around me. That's very special.
But for the first time, this was organized here in Washington, or North America, if I may put it that way, and you were inducted. How significant is this for you?
Legacy starts with something significant, right? So for me, my family, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren can point back to that moment and say that we are part of the Igbo people. Not only are we are part of it, but they wrap their arms around us and acknowledge us. They acknowledge my great-great-great-grandfather for his contributions. That's pretty special.
So talk to me about how you were able to trace your ancestry all the way to Igbo land.
Two pieces. One piece is the travel of my gene pool in North America. But the most important piece is the DNA. So between the DNA and the travels, you know, there are a lot of Igbos landed in North America. And in North Carolina's, where people were sold and then went into South Carolina, the people were sold, going into the Mississippi's. But on my mother's side of the family, our gene pool was anchored heavily in Mississippi and then began to migrate out. So tracking those pieces gave me the knowledge. And I spent a lot of time in Africa and a lot of time with my dear friend Kingsley Obagi roaming around the continent. So I'm pretty sharp about that piece.
You know, a lot of people have talked about the ingenuity of the Igbo people. Would you say that you got that? You are a computer guy. You were credited for being the father of the dot-com movement, literally. Would you say the ingenuity of the Igbo people might have rubbed off on you?
Interesting question. There are two things that I may. My great-grandmother. I knew my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother very young. She was amazingly, had great ingenuity. And she, whenever I have hard times, I call upon her. She was a leader of people. And I hold that dear. My godfather, who is my mother's cousin, same great-grandmother, etc., highly started as a janitor, ended up owning a trash collection business, ended up owning a scrap metal business, ended up owning a pig farm, all starting with one idea, looking at what people needed, providing a service, and then begin to aggregate pieces. So there's a lot of history in the family of people stepping forward, taking limited resources and developing something very special with those things. It is who I am. I mean, I can't, I sleep very little because my brain is always going with the next kind of thing to do this or that. Yes, that. Talk to other Igbos and see what happened.
Emmett Makary is a prominent African-American computer guru and the CEO of Cycurion. He spoke with me from here in Washington. You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, right now it's time for music from our African collection.
Tell me, is my life gonna be enough to the end of time?
That was Music from the Continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Douglas Impuga, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, wherever a man goes to dwell, his character goes with him. I'm your host, Peter Clotin, Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.